And since this is traditionally Palm Sunday, this morning's message is simply titled, Hosanna. A new follower might ask, Preacher, why do they call it Palm Sunday? And to be honest with you, it could be more correctly described as the triumphal entry Sunday. Let's read. She's going to put it up there, an account, and hopefully it'll explain it to you more. We'll start with John 12, verses 12 and 13. And then I have some pictures that in the middle we want to show you. And then we'll read from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. John 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. You have to realize that that made religious leaders and politicians and political leaders nervous. The King of Israel. I start with John intentionally because his account is the only account in all four Gospels that describes them as palm branches. It is interesting that all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, give an account, a really detailed account that is almost identical of this historical day in the life of Christ. Yet they all have tidbits of difference, which is things that raise my interest. I'm going to go now and read just one verse, and then I want to show you some pictures of Matthew 21, verse 1. It says, Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem, Matthew's account, not John's, and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives. And I want you to look at the Mount of Olives as we have four or five pictures here. We were there with a group from our church in 2013. And I say that getting to go to the Holy Land turns this Bible from black and white to full color. Because it's not a storybook. The happenings are still there. The places that are described in this Bible are still there. And you can see it all in full color. Full color. And it's just awesome to go and stand at the Mount of Olives. And I don't know if we're having trouble getting him up. But to stand there. I am standing when I took this picture on the Mount of Olives, looking over to the city of Jerusalem across the Kidron Valley at the Eastern Gate. They have boarded it up or blocked it up and rocked it in simply because, and I don't have time to go in, there's a mosque that is there. The city of Jerusalem is divided into four quadrants, and the Muslim population has occupied one-fourth of that. It's been that way since for years, but in 67, Israel worked a treaty after the Six-Day War to where they were part of that decision to allow it to be divided up. And when you look, next picture if we can. This is the street from the Mount of Olives going down. You can see the mosque in the distance and the wall that is still there that completely surrounds the city of Jerusalem in the distance, right below the green in the background. You can see the mosque right above the eastern gate that is there. And this is the road that this triumphal entry, where they laid those branches down, that day where Christ went from the Mount of Olives. Next one. This is Gethsemane. As you're going down that road, to your left, there's a gate there that is identified as Gethsemane that goes in. And those olive trees, some of them over 2,000 years old, are still there. And it's the most solemn place you can just feel the Spirit of God in that place in Gethsemane, where that they came to get Christ that evening. Next picture. That is looking across at some of the city outside of Jerusalem. And in fact, in the background, you could see, I'm not going to try to zoom in, but the American embassy that the president this year moved to Jerusalem is in that picture in the background. I don't get involved in politics very much, but thank God that somebody had the stance to do what was right. And we talked about it, every president, Democrat or Republican, talked about it long enough. And we finally did it, recognized it as the capital. Next picture. Oh, I had to prove we were there. That's the group that we were with. You can see Randy Scott, a friend of ours, and the rest of our contingent, Kelly and Perry and some of us, Dan and Pam. I can't remember who all was there, but that's us walking down the road where the triumphal entry. I think that's it, if I'm not mistaken. One more, is there any more? Is that it? Okay. So here's the picture. Let's read on in Matthew. It says, "Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them." And immediately he will send them." It's all interesting. "All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken to the prophet." Let's go back to those colts just a minute. You think the Lord can't guide and direct you? There's no account anywhere that he went and predetermined any of this about the colts. He literally moved in the hearts of someone that those colts was there and that was going to be the response, that they would turn loose of them. You want to follow God's will in your life? Listen to the Holy Spirit, to the Lord speaking to you. Know for sure it's Him. Confirm it with a whole lot of different stuff, but God will guide and direct you according to His Word, not contrary, if you'll listen. So he's arranged for this donkey and a colt to be tied up there. And they brought the donkey and the colt. They laid their clothes on them, and he sat on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road that you just seen, and others cut down branches from the palm trees that we read in John's account and spread them on the road. And then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come to Jerusalem, across the Kindred Valley, he went down that street and was going up the other side. And when he had come to Jerusalem, now you listen to this statement, all the city was moved. It's interesting. Saying, "Who is this?" So the multitudes said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." This is all a prelude to Easter Sunday, which we will next week, the mock trial, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And I wish we had time to go into all the fine detail this morning of what transpired on this day. This one event, I have to tell you, an account of this event, as I said before, is in all four Gospels. And the harmony of those Gospels is just unbelievable. Four different men, they didn't get together and conspire and write it all. The Holy Spirit, it moves you to understand that this is a God-breathed book, that they all were there at that time, and they all penned through the Holy Spirit speaking to them about this event. And it's just amazing. You ought to go read it for yourself. Look it out and search it up, how that the harmony that took place. It's just unbelievable. The colt, the branches, the praise, it's awesome. And yet they're all different and unique in their own perspective. Hosanna is a Hebrew word that is translated in a prayer, to be honest with you. And what they were praying was, "Save us, we pray." Picture that. He's walking down the city. They're not thinking crucifixion. They're thinking King of Israel. Political government. This is the same group of people that in less than a week's time, almost instantaneously, if you go through and study it, I mean, that's a better description, are going to be hollering, "Crucify him and give us Barabbas." I find that interesting too. Just shows how fast that folks can turn on you. The praise that is taking place. However, for the sake of time, this morning I'm only going to look at three things and may not even get that far, that have so much relevance to the church today that took place that it's just awesome. First, I want you to notice the praise in verses 9 and 10. The multitudes. This was not a small crowd of people. The multitudes who went before him. Now, you think about that. I don't know how many a multitude is, but I know it's not two or three. I know it's the whole city that is described. I don't know how many people were living there at the time. But God works in fine detail and numbers on purpose. He's telling us the whole city because it's the whole city. It's everyone. The multitudes went before, and those who followed cried, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." There's uniqueness in that I'm not going to go into, but they realized by what they were crying out that this was the Messiah, the Son of David. If you go back and research that statement, what was happening, there's a lot of history being fulfilled, a lot of scripture being fulfilled, which we'll touch on next week. But blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. All that verbiage is unique in the fact of what they are crying out about the Savior. And when he had come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved. They were praising and worshiping the Savior, and they knew it. You think about that. There was, and there is, a contingent of folks that still tend to criticize praise and worship. And I can identify with those folks because I come from a background to where the Lord is in His holy temple. When you come into the service, you reverence the Lord. You reverence the building. You reverence the church. And I get that. Our old building had a sign that, you know, we wish we could have saved. There's in the discussion of, you know, making it be still and know that I am God. I'm not making light of that. The reverence, you know. But I will say this is just a building, folks, where the church meets. And there'll come a day in the life of this church that when we're not having church in here, there'll be basketball rims put up on either side of this place when we're in a new sanctuary. It's a building. It's a place for our kids. But these people were, I mean, even in my background, everything was prim and proper. There was some ritual. This is tradition and ritual with us even talking about Palm Sunday. But there was more than that happening with Christ here. And it was happening to the place that there was no official contingent of religious leaders. There was no official contingent of politicians that were there that day. No establishment was yelling praise. No one, in fact, was there representing the government or even the religious people of the Jewish background. In fact, if you look on down in verse 15 and 16 of Matthew, you'll read these verses about what the religious establishment was doing. It says in verse 15 and 16, "But when the chief priests," that's the men that's running the temple of Jerusalem, "when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did," they knew he was healing people. They knew the crowd was following him. They knew that this group of people believed him to be the Messiah. "Saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying out in the temple." He had made it through the palm branches. He had went up the other side of the Kindred Valley. He had entered into the temple that was inside the walls surrounding the city. And it says, "When the children crying out in the temple saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David.'" They knew what the people in the group thought. They were indignant. The chief priests were, and the scribes, the religious establishment. "And they said to him, 'Do you hear what these people are saying?'" Established religion, as we talked about last week, has a problem with grace and the Savior. It did then, and it does today. Indignant. What's that mean? It means they were angry. It means they were offended. It means they were up in arms. It means they were resentful. They were annoyed. These religious leaders, to say the least, were unhappy with this praise that was taking place of the Messiah, of Christ. Yet, they had a flea market inside the temple. If you read on down. And the beauty of all this scene that is transpiring on Palm Sunday was Christ addressed it personally. He didn't leave it up to one of the disciples. He was bold enough and brazen to stand in the pulpit that he had, the group of people and the religious leaders around him. And he said, "Have you never read?" And then he quotes Psalms 8:2. "Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings," or nursing infants, "you have perfected praise." Ooh. I'm sure that didn't set well with them. Perfect praise personifies and glorifies God. Now please, before I go on, I don't have anyone in mind. I'm not talking to anyone personally. I'm not here to upset or make anyone mad, or for you to leave and never come back. But perfect praise glorifies God, and glorifies God the Father, glorifies the Son of God and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is just quoting Scripture, and oh, I could preach from now on, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He quoted to those that were upset because they were praising God, the Scripture. And he went back. And Jesus knew the Word because he was the living Word. The Bible, I just read it to you from John 1:14. And here Jesus himself is defending perfect praise. Allow me to even go a little bit farther. Genuine praise and worship. And there is a difference between genuine praise and worship than that which is being conjured up, that which is whipped up, that which is predetermined, that which is fake, or that which is taught. There's a big difference. It's never... I know her heart. We talk about it often. It is not our intention to conjure up praise and worship. It's a thing of the heart that the music leaves. It's something that you're glorifying God with. It's something that you're thankful and grateful for what God has wrought in your life, and it in turn transforms and comes out. By you raising your hand, by you praising God and speaking, shouting, dancing. I'll never forget the little guy when I went to a Calvin Ray meeting down in Ashland when they were filming it at the TV studio. He got out in the aisle. He wasn't drawing attention to himself, but he was dancing a jig right in the middle of the aisle, not for anyone to see, not for anyone to do anything. He was just praising God in his own little world right there in the middle of the aisle. He wasn't turning flip-flops, running up and down the aisle, speaking in tongues and drawing attention to himself. He was simply praising God right where he was. There's a difference. And I could use all kinds of verbs and adverbs and adjectives, which I probably don't know the difference, but I could get help from the English teacher to describe. But the one thing I know is when you are praising and worshiping and it brings attention to oneself and not Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit, it is not genuine. I know it for a fact. Because praise and worship glorifies God and glorifies the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. Genuine is more than just an emotional whipped up frenzy. This was a multitude of people actually worshiping and praising God, singing out and quoting Scripture and singing and praising. In fact, if you go and research what they were singing and praising according to all four Gospels and what is said, they are actually quoting and singing from the Psalms of 113 through 118. And go research it yourself. I'm not making this up. Hosanna to the Son of David. Save us now. You know why Jesus is defending it? And why it has to be genuine and Spirit-led and Spirit-filled and not some tongues or faith-healing, smack them on the head, we're going to run up and down the aisles and shout and whoop and holler. He's defending it because it was genuine. It was the real deal. It was what they were feeling in their heart because they knew he was Hosanna, the Son of God. Save us now. Because the real deal draws folks to the saving grace of God.
Amen.
I want what they have. I want the transformation in my life that they have, the love of God. I want to be able. I'll never forget Mary Ellen's story. She's not here, and we're in a funeral, and as soon as this is over, we've got to be there. Thus, I wouldn't be in this. But the fact of the matter is, I'll never... She said, I always wanted to be able to raise my hand. She said, I'm one of those, and I can't remember his name, Tim Hawkins. Yeah, I did this, you know, or I did this. You ought to go watch that video about what he talks about, praise and worship and raising hands. But genuine is more than that. And because the real deal draws folks to the saving grace of God, it draws folks to the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it draws folks to glorify God also. And whenever you see that and experience what is real, it's not some prayer hanky here, you know. Folks think, and they can feel, the one thing that I hear from everybody that we visit in the home that visits this church says, I felt the Spirit of God in that place, and I felt loved. That's the real deal. It's not something that is conjured up. I was telling Lenny Campbell, the pastor at Oakland Chapel, who will be helping with the funeral of Bob Wood immediately following this service. I said, I almost feel, Lenny, that I'm bragging. I'm doing something wrong whenever I tell folks that 102 out of 113 weeks, we've had someone saved, we've had someone baptized, or we had someone join this church. And for over 2 years, you think about that. For over 2 years, and it's just amazing. It's unbelievable. It's unheard of what God is here doing, and I don't want to ever see it quit, and I don't want the enemy to get involved in it and create a bunch of issues and problems. And the absolutely, but. Had someone, Rose in Denver, had someone saved again in the street ministry on Wednesday evening. Someone joining this morning. I mean, on and on and on. It's just that God, in His infinite wisdom, is doing here. And Lenny said, oh, preacher. He said, my goodness. He said, praise God and shout it from the mountaintops what the Scripture tells you to do. Celebrate that. Be excited about it. I spoke with Brother Dale Daly this week, and our missionary with CRA, he called to check on my health and pray for me for my healing. And I tell everybody I come into contact what God is doing through Big Branch Church and how God is at work. And two services on Wednesday night and two services on Easter Sunday morning to accommodate a crowd. And what He's doing in your lives, not just mine, the transition and what happens. I don't take it for granted, and we're going to praise God because we have something to shout about. I'll never forget. I think about Bob Wood. Kim, I'll never forget. Last October, sitting in my home, and the Holy Spirit said, you need to go to the hospice house. Mr. Bird, who had been on our prayer list for years, unsaved, I'd visited him in his home and could never convince him that he needed to trust Christ. Go, and he's laying in a hospice bed. Trust Christ as his Savior. And within 12 hours, he stepped out of the presence of this old earth and into the presence of God. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the exact same day. 90 years old he was. That's unheard of. Leaving, I think, man, I'm on a roll. I'm going to go see Bob Wood. 82 years old. Sat with him in his front yard. The most convincing person that wanted to understand the gospel, that he couldn't even understand grace, and it troubled him so that every time I'd been there before, he struggled with it being that easy. He bowed his head and trusted Christ. And this past week, he stepped into the presence of God. Folks, it's important what we do and why we do it. You never know when that person that you witness to, if you'll close the deal, would you like to trust them now and pray a prayer with them and convince them that it's the right thing to do when the Holy Spirit is drawing them, because now's the day of salvation. They may not be here tomorrow. You may not be here tomorrow. It's important. They may overdose. Those folks you're talking to in an alley. I have a friend. You'll find this odd, but I have a friend that owns a restaurant in Huntington that we visit often. His bartender. Clean for an extended period of time, overdosed and died, and it shook him so much this week. You say, oh, they shouldn't. Oh, shut up and go home. They need Jesus just like everybody else. Amen. Amen. The transformation that God is doing here and what takes place, it overwhelms me what God is doing and allowing this kid, some cowpoke that was raised on a dairy farm probably three miles that way, the way the crows fly, who run around with cow manure squishing between my feet when I was a kid. It just overwhelmed me, but it's not I. It's Christ. And folks, my story for His glory, Marty. That's what it is. And it's time that we sing praise and that we can stand and shout and what God is doing in your life and how He transformed Michael this week. That just amazes me to see how God works. Signs a contract to build a house and 5 minutes later sells another one that never had a sign in his front yard and never advertised. Now you go think about that, how God moves. Praise God for that kind of stuff. Give Him the glory for it, because that just doesn't happen unless God's involved. Praise God, Ashley. Praise God, Nathan, Rose, Denver, Paula. The rest of you who God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, because of your profession of faith and your willingness to be faithful, amen, and get baptized and attend church and come on Wednesday night and grow. Praise God for what He's done and how He's transformed you from a life of slavery to addiction. Nothing wrong with that. God has transformed you. It's like the metamorphosis of a butterfly from a life of addiction to a life of beauty and Christ-likeness and witnessing and now winning others. Praise Him. Hosanna from the highest. Allow me to say that religion and tradition, folks with a works for salvation and a to-do list, whether it's water baptism or anything else, you can put anything you want right there in that list. Hypocritical, holier than thou living, or self-righteous, piousness, proud behaviors. Those that think you got to be dressed right and well, I'm one to say that this morning. Got to have the right Bible translation, the right traditional music. My home church, if you want that, I know exactly where you can get it. They got it plastered on the front of their sign. I've been there, folks. I get where you're coming from. I understand. I've worn that t-shirt, but nothing is the same as relational transformation, saving grace of God that is worthy of our praise. Nothing. Nothing. So today, this week, you get you a handful of those cards when you leave. and invite people to a service next week that I'm not going to beat them up if they come in their Easter clothes, and I'm not going to beat them up if they come in their shorts. I'm just going to love on them. And there's no reason we can't fill this place up twice if we'll all get out and work this week. And there's 400 people here next week that for one reason and one reason only is I do what I do. It's because maybe there's a Bob Wood in this congregation. Maybe there's an Isaiah Bird in this congregation next week that will trust Christ as their Savior and step into the presence of God almost instantaneously. And I'll tell you one thing, if he'd have been coherent when I was there on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, I'd have sent word to my grandmother through Bob Wood and said, tell her I said hello. I just believe it that much. And you should too. Tell Mama hi. I'm coming soon. Wow. We don't buy into society's trap, religious tradition and rituals. By the way, which I support wholly, some of them. I support wholly a good Easter egg hunt. I support wholly a bunny for kids. I support wholly Holy Week activities. But you stop and remember this day. You take the time to smell the roses this day and sing Hosanna, because during these activities you realize it is more than just a Super Bowl of festivities that we're going through. Amen. It was Hosanna, save us and save us now. That was the Son of God. That was the Savior of the world, fulfilling prophecy of the Old Testament time and time and time again. And he's quoting the scripture, if you go read it, to see the promise of God and the fulfilling of what was taking place. And we'll finish all this up next week. I've already went way too long. But Hosanna, save us, we pray, and save us now. Let's stand. Father God.